you look into the difficult areas of your life, it seems like too much. And you may look at it and you just see one confused mess, one big muddle of, you know, tangles and contraptions and wires. You don't know how to deal with it. That's because it's hard for you to see unless you see with the eyes of the Holy Spirit. He says, if you can trust me with those nooks and crannies of your life, those areas of your life that you've never been able to fix, you've even wanted to sometimes, but if you can trust me with those areas, he says, I will very gently deconstruct and reconstruct until it's in order.
Amen.
I will remove the things that need to be removed. I'll rebuild the things that need to be rebuilt. You will come out more whole and more holy, if I can say it that way. More whole, more complete, feeling cleansed in that area, not having an area you have to be ashamed about. I really don't want my children to feel ashamed.
Praise God.
It's not my desire for my children to walk out with regret and guilt and shame hanging on them. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden. You will find rest for your souls. Come unto me. Bring me your broken stuff. I was a carpenter, you know. Bring me the broken things of your life that there's no way you can fix. Bring me the broken stuff, your broken heart, your broken relationships, your broken home, the things that distress you, the things that at one time you prayed a lot about, but you got frustrated and you said, I'm not getting anywhere with this, and you put it away and said, I'm done with that, I'm not going to deal with it anymore. Even that, let me have that too. Because I want to, if you'll allow me to say it this way, I want to recreate your life. You were built to carry me. You were made and designed to carry me, he says. To carry my presence. And I want to make you whole and complete and strong. Without shame, without regret, and without that constant fretting. There's someone in here, you fret and you fret and you worry and you worry. You're a hand wringer. You always fret and worry over little things, and Satan uses things that really have no authority over you, but Satan uses them almost to torment you because it's hard for you. You fret and you worry and you wring your hands and you worry so much about these things. Bring those little, even the littlest of things. Make a list if you need to and bring them to me. Let me work through these things with you. Don't you know that I care about the smallest detail of your life? Because I would rather fix it than watch you fret and fret and fret and fret and worry. I don't desire for you to carry those burdens or cares. You know what I desire for you to do? I desire for you to just gaze into my eyes and trust me. Fellowship with me. And while you're doing it, release those things to me and let me deal with them. Let me fix them. Let me rebuild them. Let me create in your life a life that can carry the presence of God. Let me create in your life a life that fellowships with God.
Amen.
In the way that the Father desires fellowship. In the way that brings glory to Him, that touches His heart and fulfills His heart. You know that God's heart desires fellowship with His children.
Yes, he does.
He desires your fellowship. He desires to be with you. And when you come with him, even like a child, just come like a child and you say, oh, Father, I don't even know what to do and I don't know how to handle this, but I love you. You know, just like an earthly mom or dad, that's That makes a fulfillment in the heart. And that makes the Father go, oh, I love you. He loves you so much. Why would you stay outside His presence? You know that God created Adam and Eve because He wanted sons and daughters. He wanted someone to fellowship with, someone to commune with, someone to live with, that He could walk and talk with. He delighted to go to the garden and walk in the garden with Adam, communing with him. Isn't that amazing that the Father desires to meet you in the garden?
Amen.
That's really why Jesus died and rose again, was so that you could be restored to that kind of communion with God. It wasn't just so you could make heaven. It was because He desired you. Not all your great works either. I mean, that's cool. You'll have that. But He desired you. He loves you. He wanted to fellowship with you, walk in the garden with you. If I can say it this way, hug you and squeeze you and kiss you and, you know, mush all over you. God loves you. He really, really loves you. He desires to fellowship with you, and it pleases Him when you put something else away and say, now I'm going to come and spend time with you. You know, like a child. Just like a child. The Bible says we need to receive heaven like children do. Children don't really look at their clothes to see how dirty it is. You know, they don't look down and go, well, I can't come and hug mom or dad. They just come and climb mud and all. They just climb all over you. Mud, no. You know, dirt, mud. You know what? You don't really care. You love them. You clean them up, yeah. You change their clothes. But you know, that's what religion did. It made us look so much at our own clothes that we couldn't come into the garden with Him. He'll take care of that. He'll clean you. You come into the garden, He'll clean you up. And He's so sweet. He's so sweet. He'll do it. If your heart is right, He's not waiting to hurt you. He's waiting to help you. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more delightful than learning how to really commune with Him. If you really learn how to commune with Him, you kind of lose interest in other things.
Amen.
And, you know, I've been having a delightful couple of months. As I read a book written many years ago about a woman who is now with the Lord. And, you know, sometimes you can read something and it puts things in perspective. And that's what this book helped me do. It caused like a camera lens coming into focus, you know. Like if you look through a camera lens and it's focused on one thing, and all of a sudden the lens comes into focus, and suddenly you still see everything, but the focus is on a different thing. God did that for me through this book. He caused me to see a perspective in Him. And you know, when I fell in love with Jesus, and I had met Him at 15, but I really fell in love with Him at 26 years old. I mean, head over heels, fell in love with Jesus. I didn't care about anything but Him. And, you know, that's what the Bible talks about, your first love. And with my first love, I mean, I couldn't wait to come home from work every night to read the Bible. I just was so excited finding out about God, learning about Him. And I didn't know any Christians. I really had no one to fellowship with. It was me and Jesus in my living room. That was it, my Bible. I didn't even really grasp the idea of Christian TV or radio yet. So that was it. That was my discipleship program was in my living room with the Bible and Him, and I'd ask Him my questions, you know. And I grew in that relationship. And then as I got involved in church, you know, then I got involved in helps committees, you know. Not saying that's wrong. But, you know, over the years, what can happen is your focus can shift to the things of God instead of God. you know, you have to be really careful with that, because sometimes you can get so busy doing the stuff of God, you know, or even thinking that doing the stuff. You know, sometimes we can be very achievement oriented, and that's a real deception. We can be like, well, it's about healing the sick, and it is, hallelujah, and it's about manifesting the gifts, and if I do that, well, then I've achieved. You know, if I accomplish this in my Christian walk, then I've achieved. You know, one thing God's been showing me over the last year is that sometimes people don't necessarily lose their first love, but they can grow a bit of a callus over their heart. You know? Sometimes it can come from hurt, being hurt by the church or being hurt by people. Or even, well, I can't believe I'm going to say it, feeling hurt by God, even though God never does anything wrong. Were you ever wounded because you so believed something? I'm just going to be real honest here. There are times when you so believe something, and you so know that it's what God is going to do, and then for some reason it doesn't happen that way.
Amen.
You never hear people talk about this too much, do you? You can have a little bit of a broken heart because somehow, and you never quite know why. Why didn't that work? I had faith. I believed what happened, and you have this broken heart because. And you go on. You just go, what are you going to do? You go on. That's what you do. You go on. But over time, those little things, you don't lose your first love, but it can cause a bit of a, like a callus or a wound, to where the next time God makes you a promise, you can go, you know, you say, well, amen, but inside you're going, yeah? You know, it can hurt your faith. Because you look back at the time that for some reason it didn't happen the way you really thought it was going to.
That's true.
And God began to show me some things and put some things in perspective. And He began to tell me that if we will focus on Him and Him alone and communion with Him and relationship with Him, that's it. That's achievement in God. Now, forgive me for repeating this, but I'm going to repeat this until God releases me from repeating this.
Hallelujah.
But one of the things that this woman said that touched my life was she said, your spirituality is not, she used to raise up ministers. She raised up a lot of men of God. She discipled them. This woman was a woman that walked in great power. But she left it behind to seek His face.
Amen.
Now, she didn't stop moving in power, but she shifted her focus from the gifts and the meetings and doing all the stuff, and she was fairly well known. People came from all over the world to see her. She began to seek His face and press into Him alone. Her favorite expression was just Jesus. Just Jesus. And she began to pray to love. She prayed for 2 years to love the brethren. Now, this was a woman that by a lot of our standards are already moving and all the stuff. And so what God began to do was shift my focus a little bit. It's not that you lost your first love, but you may, not necessarily you may have, but you may also have just had some wounding. You may have taken your sights off of Him just one degree to focus on the stuff. And tonight is a night where God, I see God peeling some of that away from us. Because we have clamored, you know, we've cried out to be close to Him, to walk in Him, to walk in truth, to, you know, carry the stuff, do the stuff. You know, I believe this is some of the garbage. Didn't you say that the train hit the garbage and blew it out of the way? And I believe that this is some of the stuff that has hindered us. This may sound real mundane and simple, and you may say, well, Holly, that's kindergarten stuff. But you know what? Maybe we need it. You know, because, you know, sometimes after you serve God for a number of years, you can get a little bit out of focus, and you need to go back and look at the basics again and say, am I really focused right? And so as I was reading this book, I began to have some real heart-to-heart kindergarten conversations with God. Like, okay, take me back to the beginning. Let's go to preschool. I need to understand some things, God. What are your priorities in the kingdom? I mean, there's all this stuff we can press into. There's people who preach with great power, you know, and we might want to do that. Or there's people who are used to raise the dead, and we might want to do that. That's not wrong. It says to seek the gifts. Earnestly seek the best gifts. Actually, the best one is to prophesy. Hallelujah. Because that edifies the church. Yahoo. And maybe that's what we want. And that's not wrong. But as I saw all these things, I could see like a picture all around me of all these areas in God. God is infinite. You know, you could press into one thing and press into it all your life and become an expert in that area. You know, some guys do nothing but study the end times. Some guys specialize in healing. That's cool if that's their calling. Yay. Not saying that's wrong. But I'm looking around at this vast, vast horizon. And I'm saying, talk to me, God. Where do I go? What is your priority? What is the priority of God? What's the number one thing? And immediately took me through the scriptures in my mind. What is the greatest commandment? That's it. Love God with all your heart and mind, soul and strength. Love your neighbor yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So that's it, Holly. Now think about this. I already knew the scripture because he's quoted it to me, right? Yet I didn't. I love God with all my heart, mind, soul and strength. I knew I had that one, but not love my neighbor. Well, I wasn't doing so hot at that. Come on, I'm just being honest. And so God was saying to me, this is my priority. Now by these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest, I asked him priorities. Now this is all happening in like seconds, right? So again, I know the scriptures, but again, in my mind, faith seemed a little greater. Now I could quote the verse that love is greater, but honestly, wouldn't we a lot of times rather see the outward manifestation of the stuff? And so God has been putting this in perspective and saying, now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And by the way, faith works by love. And so as we seek to focus on Him and come into real communion with Him, our first love begins to bubble up again, which never really, you know, probably never really lost it. But God would tear off those little calluses and those wounds and scars that hold down that love from bubbling forth.
Amen.
I mean, some of you, I'm just going to be straight. Some of you at one time, your love for Him was so great, when you'd worship, you'd sob. You'd sob because your love for Him was so great. And then think about it. Sometimes now you go to church, not saying this is everybody, but I'm talking to somebody. You go to church and, you know, your arms are in the air and you're kind of chewing your gum and when is this going to be over and they're going to teach?
Oh.
Now, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm talking about human nature here. But God wants us to come to Him and remove, He wants to remove some of the damage, collateral damage that's been done in your life. Because as you walk with Christ, you will sustain some damage. You know, people will hurt you, situations hurt you, churches hurt you, expectations, you know, false expectations. Sometimes you have false expectations of people, of the church, or of God. And you know, when you have an expectation, you are setting yourself up to get clobbered. Especially if it's not an expectation that God gave you. Now, some come from God, and that's a good thing. But if you go into the church expecting that the church is going to walk in love, then, you know, Satan will see to it that somebody doesn't. And now you will sustain damage and hurt. And young Christians a lot of times are hurt because they come expecting a certain kind of treatment or a certain kind of behavior from people, and that's a false expectation. And false expectations will hurt you. Yeah, I'm going to give you a real strange scripture. The first time somebody quoted, a man quoted this scripture to me, an apostle of God. Man was a great man of God. And he quoted this scripture to me, and I really was stunned because I actually didn't remember reading it. I know I have read it, but I just didn't remember reading it. And this is the scripture. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in another man. Shocking. Now, what that means, we're supposed to love one another, and there is some form of trust that's okay in God, but if your hopes are placed in the fact that somebody's never going to miss it, you're in trouble, because sooner or later, they're gonna. Sooner or later, something will happen. I don't care how great they are, wonderful they are. Sooner or later, you know, somebody gets in the flesh and they mess up. We're not, you know, we haven't arrived yet. And so if your trust has been too much placed in a man, a woman, or a church, or a body, you could be devastated by that, hurt by that. And I see, even as I'm talking, remember these meetings, I'm not really a teacher. I just share by the Spirit, because it's God talking to your spirit, to your heart. You should also sit under some broad spectrum Bible teacher, by the way. You know, someone that really teaches. A teacher ministers to your mind, and that needs to be. You need that. You understand? Listen, he said you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. You must grow in all these areas. So if you just come to spiritual meetings only and you don't renew your mind, that will be your downfall. If you just only go to scripture teaching meetings, word meetings, that's fantastic, but you won't move in the Holy Ghost. There'll be some things you can't accomplish. Okay? And so, I don't know, how did we get there?
Hallelujah.
Oh, took a right turn. You know, one bad thing about rabbitry is like, it's like, where was I? Hey, where's the road?
Where's my notes, guys?
Oh, yes. And so, where's the notes? And so, as I'm speaking by the Spirit, though, what I could see is people's hearts, again, not everybody, but the Lord is unhooking some things in people's hearts. Some of you have been hurt by a church, a man or woman of God, a friend in God, a prayer partner, all of the above. I remember going into a church and for the, you know, after years of being in the church, God sent me to this other church, and I just thought the pastor was the, you know, the cast me out. He was just so anointed and wonderful and kind. And it was the first time I'd ever had someone that I could just, you know, really fellowship and felt like this is somebody I can just really learn from this guy. My heart was very deeply broken there, because things were not as they seemed. Not condemning any person at all. I'm saying your heart can be very deeply broken when you love the body and you love the church, and then you find out, you know, we might as well be straight about it. We've been hurt when public figures have gone awry. That hurts. You know, and we don't judge them. You know, we have compassion because they're frail, you know, in character, frail and weak. All of us, you know, there, but for the grace of God. We need to be careful not to point any fingers of judgment. But I'm just saying it can be heartbreaking to see and to come to grips with the fact that everything isn't always what it seems. There's a lot of real, real anointed people. And by real, I mean truly real. They're real hearted. Their heart is really true. But there's also some that look the same and smell the same and sound the same, but they ain't the same. And their heart is not true. But they walk the same way and they have that manner of speech. And they may even move in some gifts. Go figure that out. And it can be heartbreaking when these things happen. God is, even as I'm speaking, I see Him, you know, taking the lid off some scars and wounds and removing some of those wounds. Because you know what the body of Christ is? It's made up of humans. Humans are a mess. And so God wants to take those scars, and specifically this morning, He showed me one thing He wants to do in the body of Christ. This is what I saw. I kind of knew it, but you know how He can put a magnifying glass on something, and suddenly it's like, oh, that I got to deal with. And what He showed me today was that a set of wounds or a series of wounds, or let me put it this way, disappointments. Disappointments in your life, and maybe even a series of them, can leave you struggling a little bit when you speak in faith. It can allow a bit of doubt and unbelief. And what God showed me, you know, for years I prayed for a man. And the man was a Christian. He was a believer. He was a tongue-talking, spirit-filled usher in the church. Everybody liked him. He was had a lot of personal charisma. Everybody liked this guy. What we did not know was that in his, you know, before Christ, he had been very, very steeped in pornography. That's a word we don't say in church, isn't it? But he had been steeped in it. I mean, really, when someone's steeped in it, it can be addictive in nature. It had actually become a part of his soul. Well, when he got turned on to Christ, he left all that behind. He really did. And he walked without it for some years. But then something happened and he dabbled just a little bit. Now, these are his words, okay? He said, I wasn't struck by lightning, so then I went and got a film. I wasn't struck by lightning, so then this, and then that. And lo and behold, over time, he became steeped in it again.
Amen.
And we prayed and prayed and prayed. And I so believe in deliverance. I was absolutely sure. You talk about faith. I knew he was going to be. There was no question in my mind. Because, see, I never questioned. Because I just knew he wanted it. And to me, if you want it and you're praying, God will deliver you. That was the way I was thinking. Well, over the years, he became so entrenched in it that his mind became distorted and ill. And he finally walked away from the Lord by choice. And I won't say what's, you know, I won't say where he's at now or what's going on with him and God now, because I don't honestly know. But I know at the time God said, okay, that's it. Now don't keep praying about this. I was stunned, shocked, hurt, broken. I mean, there were some of us, we prayed I want to say like hundreds of hours in the Spirit for this man. But there was one thing I didn't know. I was young, and I didn't know that there's one thing God will not do. He will not force a man's will. He won't do it. You can pray all you want. Now, God did answer our prayers, because every time we prayed, God would do dramatic things to touch this guy. I mean, I watched. Men of God would come from out of town into the church, pick the guy out of a crowd of 500, and come and speak to him personally. Didn't pick anybody else out. So God was answering the prayers, but it was as though a sleep would go on him. And he could no longer hear. And it seemed the harder we prayed, the sleepier he got. Now, I'm going to tell you, that did something to my faith. I was a strong intercessor, but over the years, I began to feel hurt and frustrated. And why didn't God answer? You know, because I did not understand the thing about man's will. And God showed me something this morning. Now, I've been through a lot of healing over that incident. But God began to show me this morning that situations where you have a disappointment, you know what we do? A lot of times. We get a little healing and then we shut the door and we put it away and we move on. Because what are you going to do? You got to go on. But there are times when then God says to you, I'm going to do this in your life. Well, there's some things God has been telling me for 26 years I'm going to do in your life. And I'll be honest with you. There's times when I've been tired of hearing that. Can we be straight in church? There's times when I've been like, you know, if you want to do it, Lord, do it. And if you don't, stop talking about it. You're making me nuts, you know. I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, because it got to the point where the promises actually hurt. And because of the hurt, it was like, you know, I don't even want it anymore. I know what I'll go. You wake me up when you're ready. You know, resurrect me from the dead when you're ready to do the thing. But please, until then, you know, it just hurts too much.
Amen.
Now, I've gotten over a lot of that stuff, but what God is saying is that if we continue to just stuff it and ignore it and pretend it didn't happen and move on because we're strong, then sometimes that is the thing that when God does promise something, we go, well, amen, hallelujah, and we may say with our mouth what's right or we may not. But in our heart, there's some doubt and unbelief because of what happened before.
Amen.
And what he showed me is he would like to take those things tonight and release us so that we can walk in faith like children again.
Praise God. Thank you.
And I have to assure you of this. There was a reason. The reason I didn't see my prayers answered there was a reason, and it was not because God didn't answer those prayers. It was because someone chose. There is always a reason. God always does what is right. Now, before we take care of some of this, I'm going to share this with you. God, driving down the road one day, and God says to me, you know, he said, I didn't make trees. I made a system. Now, let me tell you what that means. Some people believe so much in the sovereignty of God that they believe that God causes every tree to grow. He causes every tree to die. He causes every leaf to fall when it falls. He's actually behind. They so believe the sovereignty of God that he's involved in every single thing. And that sounds good, right? But it's that kind of thinking that makes people say, well, then why did that little boy die? God killed him.
Yeah.
Well, God doesn't kill children.
Amen.
That is not scriptural. God did not kill children.
Amen.
Some of the things that have happened to you in life are not because God is mean. Amen. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's what it says. Yes, he shall always.
Amen.
Cancer is from the devil.
Amen.
Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
I didn't come to kill you. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy.
Absolutely.
Some of the things that you have wondered, why didn't God? Your enemy wasn't God, it was the devil from hell trying to hurt you and trying to diminish your faith.
Yes.
Trying to point the finger at God. That's, you know, he is the accuser. That's what he does. So this thing about the trees and the system, what God told me that day was that instead of watching over every seed and every single tree and branch and limb and leaf, he said, I created a system. It's a natural law that seeds grow into trees. Trees bear fruit. Fruit falls to the ground. Sometimes birds pick it up and carry it elsewhere. Seeds go into the ground. Trees come. That's the system. He said, I'm not standing around monitoring every single tree. I gave the sons of man the earth.
Yeah.
The earth,
right.
The heavens, even the heavens of heaven are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the sons of man.
Right.
With all the natural systems that he put in place. Okay? So some of the things that happen were not done by God. Some of the things that didn't happen that you thought should happen. I'm just trying to point out that we've sometimes blamed God. Now, we never say it out loud. Come on. But there have been times when you felt hurt because God didn't do something or did do something. I know one day I was driving in the car and I said, God, what is it you really want? He said, I want to be vindicated. My people have been lied to. They've been told a lie about me. And all the stuff in the religious churches that taught them that I'm mean.
Yeah.
I want to be vindicated. I want my people to know my heart. It was not my heart to hurt you.
Amen.
You know, sometimes if you can get somebody to really forgive, their healing manifests.
Amen.
Sometimes if you can get somebody released from bitterness, their healing automatically springs forth. I told you about the woman that came up. She wanted me to pray for her healing. And when I looked in the spirit, this is what I saw. I saw a wound and this metal thing, like a hook sticking out of it, and on that hung bitterness. And another metal thing, and out of that hung sickness. She wanted me to pray for the sickness. You know what that would have done? Not one thing. She had to deal with the bitterness, but to do that, she had to be healed of the wound. I prayed for the wound. Now, here she came up for physical healing. I totally ignored that and went for the wound in her heart, which was caused by her daughter. I began to speak into that thing and get her healed on the inside, and that whole mess fell off. And guess what? She was healed because the bitterness was no longer there to hold the sickness. Stuff happens for a reason.
Yeah.
There are spiritual laws in place that are just as sure as gravity. And so a lot of the stuff that we need to learn to walk in is we need to learn how to operate according to the laws of heaven.
Absolutely.
Remember, I told you a few weeks ago about the young man that moves in signs and wonders all the time, and I watched him being interviewed, and he said, oh, that was easy. Once I got the concept, I began to move in it. Not once I received lightning from heaven, or a powerful anointing, or an impartation from God, or I had this fireball experience, but I got the concept. He began to understand how that particular set of spiritual laws works, and when he got that concept, he just stepped into it. Right? So if that's true, a lot of the stuff that happens, this explains a million and one things to me. Why children go home before their time. Why sometimes somebody isn't healed. Sometimes it's not the child's fault either, by the way. But there's an enemy. You know, sometimes people say, well, we've already prayed about that. Why do we got to keep praying to God and asking the same thing? Your fight isn't with God.
Hallelujah.
You aren't fighting with God trying to get him to make it happen. He's done what he's going to do. He's released it from the cross, given it to you. If he just said every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. It's got your name on it. You own it. You have the certificate. Notarized. It's in your word. It's in the Bible. It says it's yours. It belongs to you. Well, where is it? It's in heavenly places. God has already released it. So where is it? It's there. So who's supposed to bring it? Him? So you're telling him to give it. He's like, I gave it. What are you talking about? I gave it to you. You've heard me share this, but not everybody has, so bear with me. In the old building I used to work in, I worked on the second floor over the warehouse. The warehouse has loading docks. They have loading docks to bring stuff in and loading. They had a railroad dropping stuff off in the back and trucks taking it out the front. It's a huge warehouse. They have what is called a staging area. The stuff that comes in goes on the shelves. When orders are placed, they go, all these guys with the big equipment pull all the stuff, and they have this staging area. You know what it looks like? It's painted like these big rectangles the size of a semi-load. They load up this staging area exactly as though it is a truck. It's just yellow lines on a floor. And they got them all lined up, all these pretend trucks. And those guys, all they do is load the staging area. They don't do anything besides that. They don't take the stuff out. All they do is go and get and put, go and get and put, go and get and put. There's a whole other set of guys that takes that stuff and puts it on the truck. They never go pick anything from the shelf, never. Their job is to load it on the truck, load it on the truck. God has placed, through the cross and resurrection, everything you will ever need in the staging area. Read Isaiah 53. And if you don't have, I love the King James, but get a real simple version. And look close at Isaiah 53. If you really look at it, it says he already gave you, by virtue of the cross, your healing. He carried your sorrow. He took your broken heart. He bore your griefs. He took your sins. Now, it wasn't just about forgiving your sins. He gave you complete wholeness, physically and emotionally. Well, where is it? It's in the staging area. By virtue of the cross, he placed all the stuff in the staging area. And that's all he's going to do. He doesn't do anything else. It's by faith that you, through prayer and faith, you come in and get the stuff. Come in and get the stuff. Come in and get the stuff. It's yours. It's got your name on it.
Amen.
But you have to come and get it. And to do that, you have to believe that it's already there and that he loved you enough to do it already. Actually, the Bible says he did. Past tense. He has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Past tense. By his stripes you were healed. Past tense. He bore your griefs. And we're walking around grieved and hurt and sorrowful, not condemning you, but I'm saying if you learn how to operate, if you get the concept,
amen.
If you get the understanding of this law and you come into a place where you're able to go get the stuff, I'm telling you, life is much easier. And you don't always have to be praying to God over and over, I want it, I want it, I need it, I need it. You can begin to say, thank you, Lord, you've already provided this. By faith, I'm taking it. And Lord, if I have to fight an enemy, then hallelujah, I'm going to town. I'm not fighting God to get it from him. He already did what he's going to do. I'm now fighting the enemy that's got his clampers on it, trying to hold it back and blaming God the whole time. So he's, you know, trying to hide your healing, and all the whole time saying to you, you're not healed. Look at that symptom. God didn't heal you. Dirty, rotten God. That's how he is. A liar and a thief. Trying to steal from the children of God all the stuff that is freely theirs, freely given. And this concept, if you get this, if you really get a hold of this, a lot of your sorrows will flee away. A lot of that garbage on the railroad track that our sister saw, boom. You don't have to walk under all that stuff. You don't have to walk defeated, broken. You don't have to be broken. You don't have to carry regret and sorrow. You don't have to anymore. That's not your stuff. That's the devil's staging error. You don't have to take that. Say no.
No.
And so having said all that, what we're doing here, I believe what God is doing is he's trying to get you to understand who he really is, and there is some vindication that's in order. We want to clear the slate. His name is good. He's righteous, true, holy. He doesn't do anything that's not right for you. He is truly kind, truly loving.
He sure is.
I don't care what it looks like. There's a reason that things happened. There's a reason that people suffer and bear scars. And a lot of times it's what they used to call man's inhumanity to man. Or it's the devil just being the devil.
Praise God.
And so tonight, what we're going to do by the Spirit of God, as I've been talking, some of you may have certain things that have raised up. You know, things that have come to mind, hurts and wounds and relational stuff, could be anything, but right now we're going to take all that, put it on the altar, and we're going to give it back to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
If there's ever been a time that I was hurt by the body, I want you to say this in your heart. If there's ever been a time that I was hurt or disappointed by the body or by the way something happened or didn't happen, or even, Lord, by something I thought you did or didn't do, Lord, right now I'm giving it back to you.
Amen.
I put it on your altar. And I repent of blaming you if I ever blamed you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I repent of believing the accusation of the enemy. Your name is cleared. And right now, restore and rebuild the faith and the belief in you. Restore that first love. Someone you got beat around, banged around by the body of Christ. You know, I can see you. It's almost like a ball in one of those, a pinball machine. You were batted from one place to another and wounded and wounded and wounded, and you hardly knew what to do about it. And I see it. Right now, I see a whole string of wounds coming right out. Memories out. In a moment, God is setting free and releasing you from that stuff.
Amen.
And the first love that you always have had is going to bubble forth. You know, the Bible says that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not a punisher, but a rewarder. You must believe that he really is your rewarder. He's your inheritance. He's your portion. He's your rewarder. And he loves to reward you. You're going to enter, if you'll release all that stuff, say goodbye to it, and go to God and say, I want my communion with you. I want that to be the number one thing in my life. Number one, you're it. You're my portion. You're my inheritance. All these other things will be added. But you are my focus, you and you alone. Loving you, living with you, walking in the garden with you, worshiping you, letting you change me. If that's your heart, you are going to have a new life. You're going to walk in the presence and the light of God. Because it's those things I'm talking about, those kind of lies and hindering forces, those are the things that hold us back from receiving all the great things that God has for us. And there's been times we said, God, why didn't I receive that? It was because of a hindering force. It wasn't because of God. And God is stripping that away. And there's going to be some people in here that there's a whole new you. You're going to get to see who you really are. You're going to find your real identity.
Amen.
You know, sometimes hurt people operate under a fake identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know that that's where fragmented or split personalities come from? It comes from people who can't deal with this much pain. Usually children who can't deal with the kind of pain they deal with, so they make up a pretend world to live in because that's safer. They take on an identity that's safe, where people can't hurt them.
Praise God.
And a lot of times in the body of Christ, we take on an identity because we think we're expected to. I got to go to church and I got to have the face. I got to be speaking the right words. And inside you're dying and hurting and you can't tell anybody. I was there, man. I was there going to church with a smile on my face, desperately wanted help, but I knew there wasn't anybody that I could go to and tell the situation that I was living with. Because I knew there would be judgment, all kinds of advice I didn't need and wouldn't help. And really all I wanted was someone to pray that knew the ways of the Spirit, that could help me by the Spirit. Few and far between, honey. Few and far between, sad to say. Advice sometimes just hurts people more. It's like words pounding on them, you know. When what they want is somebody to unplug it by the Spirit. Or just to say, you know, I don't have an answer for you, but I will pray. I will intercede. I will stand with you.
Yes, Lord.
Sometimes somebody just wants a gentle person to love them and be kind to them. So there's people in church that are desperate. I have people come to me all the time and say, I've never been able to tell anybody this, but... And then they tell me the most horrifying stories. And to be honest, a lot of times it's almost too much. And I say, how, Lord, I got to help this one by the Spirit only. How can you heal that? I know you can, but only you can. And there's no words that I could say that's going to make that right. I know someone, when they were a little girl, their parents were Satanists. This little girl was made to hold the dagger while someone was being killed. How do you heal that? How do you speak to that? You have no idea what goes on in the church. The crippled people. You know, what you see is somebody who's, you see them as trouble, cranky, not delivered. You avoid them because you know, who needs them? You know, you don't like them. But a lot of times those people have lived through stuff no human should ever live through. And there's really not too many places they can go for help. And I'll be honest with you, honestly, many times I have not felt equipped myself. I had to go to God and do what I could, you know, by the Spirit on that day. That's all I really know how to do anyway, is deal with what God wants to deal with today. You know, when I pray with people, all I do is go to that thing today. I don't try to fix tomorrow or yesterday. Whatever He's doing today, that's what we do. But some people need a lot of those sessions, I'll tell you.
Yes, they do.
If you have a church, believe me, there's people in your church that are hurting and feel trapped and can't tell anyone. Do you know how many people are in the church that are abused? Being currently abused? There's people in the church, usually women, but I've even heard of men being beat that can't tell anybody. There's women. There's a woman that told me that her husband took her head and smashed it on the counter. But yet he goes to church with her on Sunday, and if she rats on him, he's really going to beat her up. And so she can't tell anybody. Right? And this is the stuff that goes on. I hate to bring it out in the open, but I just feel like God wants us to begin to realize that we have got to have a supernatural move of God. We've got to have relations with God to be able to help these kind of people and to be able to be healed ourselves. And God has got to have you whole enough to minister to somebody who's not whole. You know, because you know what they say, hurting people hurt people. And so God wants you free, whole, clear, the pure heart and a pure soul and a pure mind.
Absolutely.
So that you can help somebody.
Absolutely.
So, do we need to speak that prayer out loud, or did anybody get their release yet? Do we feel like we need to say it?
Let's say it.
Okay. So let's. I'll do a repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I give you every disappointment.
I give you every disappointment.
Every wound and hurt.
Every wound and hurt.
Every time things didn't go my way.
Every time things didn't go my way.
And every misunderstanding.
Every misunderstanding.
In my life.
In my life.
With the church or with you.
With the church or with you.
And even in my home. I put it at your feet, Lord Jesus. I ask you to take it. I ask you to heal me. Fill me. Equip me. Fill those areas with the truth.
Make me whole.
And let me help others. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay.